Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So I chose a single strategy that I actually wanted to use, and I chose property development. So from 2013 up to now, I've been doing property developments. And so far, I've managed to acquire 15 properties within that time frame.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with successful property investor and developer, Sanders Malaya. Learn how he managed to go from nursing to working in the world of property, accumulating 15 properties since 2013, and much, much more. First, Malaya tells us a little bit about what he does in the world of property and where his business is based.
I run a business called Musisa Property and Consulting. We specialize in purchasing and acquiring positively geared properties that have got an option of immediately getting instant equity from it. So I am a buyer's agent, and I am predominantly based in Sydney. But I cover areas like the South Coast, Wollongong, Western Sydney, Central Coast, Newcastle, Brisbane, and Tasmania.
Malaya had an interesting way of coming up with a name for his property and consulting business.
So my name, Musisa, is an abbreviation. The way we came about it is the M is an initial for our surname, and the SI is the first two letters of my wife's name, and SA is the first two letters of my name.
Like most property investors and developers, Malaya has a busy day.
So what I actually do is pretty much helping investors on their dream. Like, we are helping investors get out of their jobs by investing in positive cash flow properties. And we also go as far as helping people that want to buy their own homes. So my day is full of property research.
Malaya then goes on to tell us about where he grew up and the sacrifices he took to immigrate to Australia.
So I was born in Zimbabwe in a small town called Binga. And it's actually in Matabele North. And I did my primary education as well as secondary education in Zimbabwe, and I went on to study and do nursing. So I've been working as a registered nurse for 30 years. And then I moved to Australia in 2004 for the change of the environment. I wanted my family to have a new future, to have a better education. So that's how I ended up in Australia. So from 2004 up to 2010, pretty much I've been working as a registered nurse. I came first, and then a year later my family joined me. So I'm actually married, and I've got three kids. Applying for the visa was a lengthy process. It took about almost a year, and I also had to register with the Australian Nursing Council. And then I had to raise money for airfares. I had to raise money for all the necessary registrations. So that took a while. And to achieve all those goals, I had to sell entirely everything that I had.
He gives us some background on his education pathway and why he decided to choose nursing as a career path.
My background is pretty much a rural background. So from kindergarten up to year seven, I did that type of education in my home area. And then for the secondary education, which is up to year 12, I did that in a small town center called Binga. And then once I did that, I then went on to do my nursing training at Wange Colliery Hospital. So that's where I did my nursing. And then I did work in Zimbabwe for about 10 years before I then thought of migrating into Australia.
Tell me a little bit about what was like growing up with regards to going into nursing, because did you choose that out of interest, or did you choose that because you had influence from family? Why did you go into nursing?
The reason I chose nursing is, it's a long story, but I'll try and cut it short. So my father was critically ill and was admitted in a hospital. I was 15 years then. I happened to visit him when he was ill in the hospital, and I did look at the way nurses were looking after him. It was really very, very, very good. And then it was a critical illness, but my father recovered from it. So after that, after talking to a few nurses and observing what they were doing, that's when I got this inspiration that I really need to help other people. So that's how I actually got into nursing.
He tells us more about what it was like working as a nurse in Zimbabwe.
Working in Zimbabwe was very, very, very good because, as you might know, Zimbabwe was one of the richest countries in Africa. But I never dreamed of getting out of Zimbabwe. Like, everything was there. You know, the economy was quite good. It was very enjoyable doing nursing because that's a career that I really liked. And because I didn't join nursing for money, it was very, very beneficial for me. I did enjoy, you know, seeing people coming in a sick situation and then they go home in a better way. So that's what motivated me a lot.
For Malaya, there were some key reasons why he wanted to immigrate to Australia.
I realized that the economy in Zimbabwe had actually started deteriorating. And I didn't want to see my kids, you know, growing up in an area where the economic situation is not good, so that they end up not achieving their goals. So that's why I thought of migrating. So to me, when I say for a better future, I was looking at my kids getting into better education. And also especially for myself and everyone else, I was looking at not being tied up into a 9-to-5 job. I was looking for possibilities where I could, you know, further on, maybe end up running a business where I can be my own boss and also be financially free.
Coming to Australia, as would be expected, was a big step, and Malaya had to adjust to many things along the way.
I mean, when I landed, I was very excited. I mean, with the, you know, excitement of getting into a new area. But once reality set in, then I was quite nervous. And truly speaking, I didn't know what was coming and what to expect. Before I even came to Australia, I had a job. So my job was at Westmead Public Hospital. And it was sponsored by Bupa Nursing Agents. So I knew where I was going straight away. And I landed at Sydney Airport, and it was a new environment for me, seeing, you know, I didn't know anyone. The culture was different. The environment was different. And imagine leaving your own family and getting into an area where you completely know no one. And then also, even if I was had a very good experience in nursing, you know, once I stepped into the hospital, everything was different. I mean, medications are the same, but things are done differently. So I actually had to learn all that.
Though things went well for a while, eventually in 2008, Malaya's financial situation took a turn for the worse.
I did work at Westmead Hospital from 2004 to 2008. And then 2008, I lost my job because of the global financial crisis. As you may understand, my family had then joined me by then. We had bought our first home, and my wife was barely having a job, so I had to do something to be able to maintain the mortgage repayments and also be able to look after my family. So I had to get another job, which then sent me to Tasmania, unfortunately, and I had to leave my family in Sydney to pursue another job.
Oh no! So basically, that's the second time you had to leave your family, first in Zimbabwe and then second time in Sydney. Wow, that must have been really hard.
It was a very big challenge, but something had to be done. Otherwise, I was going to lose the house.
At Tasmania, Malaya experienced some more struggles. But fortunately, things began to improve as time went on.
So in Tasmania, I got a job there as a registered nurse as well, but working under a nursing agent. So they sent me to Launceston Hospital, where I was working as part of the staff there. And the only positive thing is that airfares were paid for, accommodation was paid for. All I had to do was to make sure I had enough food for myself. Yeah, and then because I was again by myself there, I didn't know anyone. It was a very challenging environment again. So to fix that, I had to make sure I was actually working 24/7. So each time I moved from one job, I moved to another job so that I was totally occupied. I stayed in Tasmania for a year, so the whole of 2009. Then the GFC was sort of getting to an end, so I got a job back in Sydney at Norwest Hospital, which is just about a 5 minutes drive from where I live. So, 2010, that's when I actually moved back to Sydney to join my family after I acquired a job at Norwest Private Hospital.
How long were you working at Norwest Hospital?
So I've been working at Norwest Hospital, and I'm actually still working there whenever they want me to. So from 2010 until now, but for now, I just do it as a passion more than a job.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Sanders Malaya's journey and how he got started in property.
Truly speaking, I didn't know what I was doing. All I wanted was a home to live in, but fortunately enough, I landed up into a nice suburb, which is called Glenwood.
One of his worst investing moments, and how it also turned out to be a light bulb moment for him.
So that's when I realized I had done a massive, massive mistake. So to move forward, then I thought I must stop there.
His aha moment when things start to fall into place.
So meaning that within that short time frame, I made $280,000 profit.
And that's next. I'm Taran Sham, and you're listening to Property Invest Story. Malaya's first property was a family home, which he bought after first settling in Australia.
The first home that we bought 2 years into Australia, so in 2006, was actually a home for the whole family to live in, because we were renting a very small unit, and with a family of five, it was very, very difficult. So I thought the only way, you know, we actually came here to live in a better place. So that's why we actually acquired that home for the family to live in a better environment.
When searching for his first property, Malaya was very new to the world of property, but with a bit of luck on his side, managed to find a nice house to purchase, which he later made readjustments to in order to bring in more income.
So truly speaking, I didn't know what I was doing. All I wanted was a home to live in. But fortunately enough, I landed up into a nice suburb, which is called Glenwood. So I was just driving around and looking for a place and for a home that we could pretty much afford. That's how we ended up buying the house that we live in up to now. I still live in that house. It had a very beautiful swimming pool at the back, but after having learned a lot of investment strategies, I ended up destroying the swimming pool. I built a grand flat there and is now positively geared and also helping pay the entire mortgage, yes.
For Malaya, his second property that he bought was certainly not without its mistakes. But after educating himself, he soon began to truly embark on his property investing journey with incredible success.
So what happened was, for me to start investing, I went to a birthday party. And everyone was talking about investing and how they bought properties and all that stuff. So then the following day, I said, well, it looks like it's actually only me who hasn't done anything. So, and then a week later, without knowledge, without knowing what I was doing, I again just drove into Liverpool. And I don't know how I ended up there. I ended up buying my first investment property that was so expensive I didn't know, and the rental amount was so negatively geared that you know I could barely sustain the mortgage repayments. And to make matters worse, it was the bank used my home as a security, and because I didn't know it, that's exactly what happened. So when I wanted to buy property number three, meaning my second investment, that's when now I realized that the first property that I bought was overvalued. And then the banks could not lend me money because the second investment property was cross-collateralized. So they had to value both homes, and they said, well, your income cannot service this. And then secondly, you know, both of your homes do not have much value for you to move on. So that's when I realized I had done a massive, massive mistake. So to move forward, then I thought I must stop there. So I started educating myself. So I ended up going to different seminars, reading books about investing. And I ended up with the lady called Daphne Boholt. She teaches a lot of strategies of how to invest. And after I had massive knowledge now, that was 2013, that's when now I sat down and put a peg in the sand and said, this is what I want. This is how I want to invest. So I chose a single strategy that I actually wanted to use, and I chose property development. So from 2013 up to now, I've been doing property developments. And so far, I've managed to acquire 15 properties within that time frame.
As part of educating himself on property investment, Malaya enrolled in many different courses.
I did Jason's course. I did Bob Anderson's course as well. And then I did all the courses with Daphne Boholt, from renovations to land subdivisions, you know, and then property development itself. And then I've also done courses with Mark Rolton. He actually does options. I've also done courses with Ian Ugate. He deals with positive cash flow investments. Right now, after joining the Bias Agent Institute with Ben Handler, that's how I actually converted into the Bias Agents business. So I've pretty much done everything you can think of in terms of property.
Mele speaks in more detail about his worst investing moment, which was when he bought his first investment property and decided to make some changes to it.
My worst moment is when I had to sell the first investment property to be able to move on. So I had to sell it and lost money, about $30,000. So that's when that was my light bulb moment, when I said, well, there should be a better way. So yes, that was the property in Liverpool. So once I sold that property, it then opened all the gates for me to actually do whatever I wanted to do. But without education, I wouldn't have done that. And then the other situation that I can relate is when I bought a house on a block of land, and I knew what I wanted to do. I was supposed to build. So I subdivided, I was going to subdivide into two blocks of land and then build two homes. But without consulting the bank, I went on to demolish the house before I even secured a loan to go and build. So when I went on now to try and borrow money to build the two houses, and then the initial bank said, you have breached our mortgage. So we cannot lend you any money to go and build. I don't know what you're going to do. And then I tried to use mortgage brokers to source construction loans. Every mortgage broker couldn't do it. They said, well, mate, you have done a very bad job here. Nothing much can be done. So that was one of my worst experiences. So to fix that, I had to walk to a bank myself and spoke to the bank and said, this is my situation. How best can you help me, guys? That's how I actually got out of it. And they managed to lend me money for construction.
He gives us some more information as to why the bank stated there had been a breach in lending conditions and some excellent advice in regards to property investing.
Because the initial lender lended that there was a house as security. So once that house was demolished, then there was no security on the mortgage. It was just a piece of debt left there. So then the bank said, well, you have breached our lending conditions. You know, we knew there was a house there. You didn't tell us that you have demolished the house. So somehow you have to pay out, and we want our money back.
That would have been quite hard. How long did that process take to get out of that situation?
It took about 3 months for that entire problem to go away. But I knew that investing is about, you know, solutions, about finding the best solution ever. To me, it's all about problem. It's about problem solving. You know, do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try.
Malaya tells us about his aha moment where everything fell into place and had given him a sense of hope for the future of his property journey.
My first aha moment is when I actually built, this was my first build, when I bought a piece of land in Western Sydney. I bought it in 2014, ended up building a house there. The purchase price was $250 for the land by then, and the construction was $250. So I spent $500 on that. And it took me 2 years to build. And in 2017, it was valued at $780,000. So meaning that within that short time frame, I made $280,000 profit. So that was my aha moment, when I said, well, if I can achieve this, surely I can do better things then.
Malaya came to a crossroads as to whether he should keep his job as a nurse or pursue property investing full time.
I kept my job, because even if you do that, you know, to be able to borrow money, you still need a job. So that's why I kept on doing my nursing job and out of passion as well. And then continued doing the same thing. And then this time I actually scaled up and did bigger developments.
So, inspired by Sanders Malaya's journey and his amazing investments, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory, where we'll discuss Sanders Malaya's property strategy.
So what I do is I go into some of these suburbs where people think they are the worst suburbs that are not very expensive.
How he manages properties in different places across Australia.
So the most challenging part is when I'm starting to investigate and getting to know the area.
The personal habits that have contributed to his success?
My personal habits is, so first of all, I realize that if you align yourself with people of the same mindset, people that do the same stuff, you tend to, be successful, because every day, you talk about positive things, there's nothing negative.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory.